We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Joining me right now, a Hall of Famer in my book, Chris Biederman. And before we talk about Patrick Willis being a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the 49ers injury issues, and some early Durs thoughts from Chris, we got to tell you about our friends over at Cooperage. Nope, that's not who. Put a pin in Cooperage. We'll talk about them shortly. Before we do that, we're going to talk about our friends at Lamb Chops, the official clothing sponsor of Candlestick Chronicles. SGLambChops.com is the website. Promo code Candlestick20 to get 20% off your order. Sweatpants that are the nicest sweatpants I've ever put on in my life. They are so comfortable. They are heavy without being oppressive. And that's hard to do. And Lamb Chops pulls it off with all their clothes. It's super comfortable, super high quality. The zippered pockets. We tell you all about it all the time. And I am so happy to have Lamb Chops in my closet.
I got a cross-country flight tomorrow. And there's a 100% chance your boy is going to be in some Lamb Chops sweatpants for the ride.
I want to wish a good luck to you on your flight and safe travels, but to all the pickpocketers who are going to try and get after Chris and have no chance because of those zippered pockets. No,
zippered pockets, super clutch. There's going to be some shady character walking up with some ideas in his head, and then he's going to see those zippered pockets and think that it was better.
Is that a Cleaver logo? Damn it, abort. Get out of there. Get out of there. We have no chance against Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com. You can check out their latest styles there. Their fall and winter fashion. Their fall and winter styles are out now. Really, really cool set that they have there. But then they have some other stuff, some shorts. There's hats, chains, anything you could be looking for. Lamb Chops has got it. Make sure to hit them up at SGLambChops.com and follow them on Instagram at SGLambChops. All right. Now Cooperage. Let's pull that pin out of Cooperage and let's talk about our friends over at Cooperage Brewing. They brew Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA. It's not a coincidence that they have a beer named after our podcast. They named that beer after our podcast on purpose because they are the oldest sponsor of Candlestick Chronicles. It's our third year running with them. They are cranking out Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA still. You can get a case of it at CooperageBrewing.com. You can go to the brewery and get some, but you can try any of their wonderful beers, and I would be shocked if somebody went there, like a person who likes beer, and walked into that brewery, tried a couple beers, and didn't walk out with at least a four pack. I'd be pretty surprised.
Yeah, I mean the fun thing for us with Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA, it being the third year in production there, it's basically been on rotation continuously for the entire football season since August. The last couple of years there had been runs, right? They would make a batch and then there would be sort of a waiting period after it all sold out. But they've just kept making it because of the popularity, and it's testament to how good the beer is, frankly. But it's also I think people really like seeing it. Obviously a lot of 49ers fans in the Santa Rosa area. An amazing beer to bring to your tailgate. I would say, I think it's probably one of the best conversation starters you can have. Like, hey, you're going to a tailgate. You're around some people you don't really know. You need an icebreaker. Bring a four pack or two or three or four or an entire case and say, hey, look, I there's this podcast. There's this great beer. We're all here to watch football. Like, it's just, you know, it's what can be better than really good beer at a tailgate that just also happens to be themed after our podcast?
I don't have anything for you. Like, what could be better than that in that moment? Nothing. That's the very best thing. Get yourself some Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA or peruse their beer catalog at cooperagebrewing.com. If you are 21 and up and in the state of California, they will ship a case directly to your front door. The best way to acquire beer. Somebody knocks on your door, rings your doorbell, you walk out, you sign for the beer, you bring it inside, you drink it, and you didn't even have to leave your house. It's great. cooperagebrewing.com. We love our friends at Cooperage, and we think you'll love them too. All right, let's talk about Patrick Willis possibly getting into the Hall of Fame. Let's talk about the 49ers injury situation. Chris has some Durs thoughts. And our buddy Flynn in the YouTube chat needs some therapy. Go listen to the last podcast talk. Not joking. All right, let's dive in.
Blue Wire. Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Has got him and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives and he's in. Touchdown, 49ers.
Yeah, the whole, like, so I joked with Flynn about, you know, go listen to the last podcast for therapy, but for me, the 49ers loss Monday was such that I don't think we need to spend a midweek pod on it. Like, they lost a game. They turned it over. It got out of hand. I think they're still the best team in the NFC. I think they're still they are the favorite and should be the favorite to go to the Super Bowl. If I had to bet on a team to go to the Super Bowl, I would still pick them. It was an ugly game. It was not the end of the world. The 49ers are still good. And I'm guessing if they went to the Super Bowl, they would probably be favored by like a point and a half over the Ravens.
Really?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
They'd be favored over the Ravens?
They might be a point That's and a half dog. I don't know. It just wouldn't be like, oh, the Ravens by 8.5. It wouldn't be anything nuts.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe the Ravens are getting the point and a half. I don't know. But the point is they're very, very evenly matched. They're still very, very good. And I am ready to move on to the next game.
You're on to Washington.
Yeah, it's 1 week at a time here. Don't look too far forward. Don't look too far back. We're focused on today. Week of prep started today with a walkthrough practice. So I'm already dialed into next week's game plan. And, you know, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, games like this can happen to good teams, right? It's not, they didn't play well, they lost, but it doesn't mean they can't win the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean that the best is not yet to come, right? It doesn't mean the season's over. I'm always reminded when, like, elite teams go through losses like this. It's like the 2014 Patriots lose to Kansas City 41-14, turn the ball over three times. People are asking if Tom Brady needs to be benched. And then the Patriots go on to win the Super Bowl that year. Right. Yeah. So it's just an example, one of many, of like a lot of good teams just lose games occasionally. That's why it's so hard to go undefeated in the NFL. So it's just, is it what you want? Obviously not. Do the 49ers have some issues now? Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about them. Mm-hmm. I think the upshot, like we said in the last pod, now is probably more injury related. And getting the one seed than the loss, like, defining their season, right? Because we know how important the one seed's going to be for them. And I think more so it's about getting the week off and less about home field advantage. I think they can go on the road and win a game if they need to in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But it's at this point, it's getting the week off. And as our guy Armando says in the YouTube chat, it's the lack of striped socks with the throwbacks.
Is Armando you?
My burner.
Is that your burner account?
When we got off the podcast on Tuesday morning, it, I was kicking myself almost immediately for not mentioning the sock fiasco.
Yeah.
Just the unmitigated disaster that is wearing white socks with red uniform tops. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. You're trying to pay homage to the 1994 team and the throwbacks. Those teams wore red socks, and in some games they wore red striped socks. And to just ignore history like that is just a slap in the face to anybody who enjoyed watching that team. And to be so mismatched, like wearing, not matching your red, your beautiful scarlet red jerseys with scarlet red socks to balance out the uniforms. And I know some of the guys did the correct thing. Fred Warner is routinely a guy who's got the right idea when it comes to the sock situation with the throwbacks.
Well, he's a guy who's
for most of the guys, for most of the guys to go white socks under white pants with the red uniforms, it's just a horrendous look. And frankly, I think they should be ashamed of themselves if they made those decisions. Yeah. And I'm not entirely surprised the game went the way it did, particularly for Brock Purdy, who decided to wear the white socks with the red uniforms.
You've cracked the code.
An easily correctable mistake. You get what you deserve sometimes.
Yeah, no, I definitely think you've cracked the code. That's that's good work by you. I didn't used to really give a damn about the sock aspect of it. You have always been very passionate about this. Until I saw the Miami Dolphins wearing their throwbacks on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of the teal socks, but then some of the guys wore the teal with the stripes. And man, unbelievable. Unbelievable touch. And I'm on your side now.
It's just
you've swung me on this argument.
It's such an easy way to upgrade the look dramatically. You know sure. what I mean? It's yeah. just like, it's like wearing a nice tie. It's like, yeah, sure. your suit's nice, but if you really want to kind of set off the outfit, you need a tie to go with it. And yeah. you wouldn't really think about it in those terms until you got the tie on, and then you're like, "Damn, this is all coming together pretty nicely."
It's a game. So, it's a game that's measured in yards, but you're worried about the feet.
Absolutely.
All right. Good.
Something like that. No, I think. Look, we're on to Washington. We're on to Washington.
That's what I'm saying.
I think the white socks are acceptable with the gold pants on sure. the road.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fine. I think it looks pretty clean, actually. But when you're wearing, like, the Philadelphia Eagles do this, and I think they did it in the Super Bowl, like white socks under the green unit. I think it's a horrendous look when you wear white pants.
Okay.
You're going to Core Power doing some sculpt, your yoga pants. Like, what's the deal? What's the deal, guys?
What's the deal with these pants?
Why people tune into this pod.
Yeah.
Admittedly, we're a little thin on news unless we want to just start talking about the injury stuff.
Candle Sock Chronicles here. Yeah, let's talk about the injury. Let's talk about stuff that didn't matter as much from Monday's game, the injuries. The practice report today was not super encouraging. Eric Armstead still not practicing. Aaron Banks didn't practice. Now, it was just a walkthrough, so this was an estimated practice report, but Aaron Banks aggravated that toe injury that kept him out for a few weeks. He got hurt late in Monday's game. He did not practice. Jair Brown, Kyle Shanahan said there is some concern with his knee that he won't be able to go this week. They're hoping he'll be ready by Sunday, but he did not practice on Wednesday. Juwan Jennings, still in concussion protocol, didn't practice. And then Jalen Moore, also in concussion protocol, didn't practice. Javon Hargrave, limited. Deebo Samuel was limited by a neck injury. It's out of nowhere. Ambry Thomas has knee and hand injuries. He was limited. I actually thought it was good news that Trent Williams was limited. I would have bet a lot of money he would not be participating maybe all week and then be questionable with that groin injury, but Kyle Shanahan sounded encouraged by it, saying he was hoping that you know, it was a good sign that Williams was limited today. And I think if you're the 49ers, you're probably more encouraged by that than anything.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the Jair Brown one popping up and Kyle Shanahan saying he's concerned is pretty problematic, because he would be the third safety you've lost to injury so far this season. Yeah. George Odom, probably more of a special teams player, but you lost him early on. You lose Halano Hufanga, who, you know, I think you and I are probably in agreement that Hufanga might have been, I don't know if overrated is the word, but probably not deserving of all pro nominations last year. Like he won it because he made a bunch of splash plays and was on a really good defense. But I don't know that he was
a first team all pro.
I don't know that he was the best, you know, one of the two best safeties in the league last year, sure. But still a really good player. And so now if Jair Brown can't play on Sunday, then you're down three safeties. And, you know, you typically come into a season with four safeties on your roster. Mm-hmm. So the 49ers would be without Jair Brown would be missing 75% of their safeties. And now they do have Logan Ryan, a free agent addition to pair with Tayshawn Gibson potentially. And you have a very veteran experienced group. And Logan Ryan, obviously longtime Patriot, has played in a lot of playoff games. So in terms of understanding assignments and being in the right spot, you probably feel okay. But at this point in his career, he was available midseason and you know, on a cruise, unemployed during the season, probably for a good reason, right? Like, so it's not great. It's not what you want. But fortunately for them, they're playing Washington, and Washington's lost six in a row. And if you read anything about the Commanders these days, everything is about the draft. Everything is about them losing and trying to secure the best draft pick they possibly can, because they're probably going to reshape the entire front office. You remember Martin Mayhew is their general manager, a former 49ers executive. Ron Rivera is probably coaching, I don't know, his second to last game.
I am stunned Ron Rivera is still there. I would have figured he'd be gone a long time ago, but I'm guessing Josh Harris, their new owner, didn't want one of his first acts as owner to be to fire the coach, have an interim coach, and then have to figure it out this offseason. Like, he's just kind of kicking that can down the road, knowing that the wins don't matter.
Yeah, Sam Howell got benched last week for the second time recently. I think he completed 6 of 22 before giving way to Jacoby Brissett, who's been lighting it up.
Like, it's been awesome.
Jacoby Brissett has 146 quarterback rating, although he's only appeared in two games and has 23 attempts. But, like, he's been solid.
Dark Horse MVP candidate?
He nearly led a 20-point comeback win against the Jets on Sunday. The 49ers are fortunate in that. I mean, there are a couple of things that are challenging about this game. First of all, how often do you see a team that should be tanking, that should be trying to lose late in the year, just like win a game they have no business winning?
All the time.
Right. All the time. 49ers it feels like it happens every year. Yeah. The 49ers did it in 2016.
Yeah.
Right. When they beat the Rams and they had no business. It was their second win of the season. And that's not to say I think Washington really, I think it's fair to say they might have a puncher's chance. But
oh, yeah, for sure. Niners on a short week, cross-country flight, early kick.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this game could be more uncomfortable than you would expect, particularly with the injuries, right? I'm not saying Washington's dangerous. And I'm not saying I would expect the 49ers to be on upset alert or anything like that. I'm just saying weirder things have happened than a team like Washington winning a game like this at the end of the season when everybody's writing them off. Their teams get this weird extra juice when they have a backup quarterback in, right, starting games. I think it's Jacoby Brissett's first start of the season for them. So it's a game the 49ers absolutely should win. But here's the thing. Like, if the Niners had won on Monday, you feel a whole lot more comfortable about the last two games of the season. Because even if they were to get upset by Washington, then you're just like, all right, they just got to beat the Rams, and then they get the one seed. Yeah. Now they have to win both of these games. Barring the Eagles, I think the Eagles have Arizona, and then they finish with the Giants again. That to me, like, the upshot coming out of Monday was the injuries and the fact that the 49ers now have to win these last two games to get the one seed instead of being able to clinch it on Sunday in Washington and then rest all of their guys and have 2 weeks off essentially going into the playoffs.
So the Niners can actually clinch this week. And they need to win. They need the Cowboys to beat Detroit, and they need the Cardinals to beat the Eagles. And honestly, like, that feels way more plausible than... I think it's in Philly. I'm 64% sure it's in Philly. But you got the Jonathan Gannon factor. Like, I know last week they could have clinched, confirmed it's in Philly. I know they could have clinched last week with, you know, a win and then the Giants beating the Eagles and the Vikings beating the Lions and then Miami beating Dallas. Like, they needed all those things to go right. This week, the Lions losing to the Cowboys and the Cardinals losing to the or beating the Eagles doesn't feel super far-fetched.
No, it doesn't.
I think you feel
Eagles defense is in rough shape. I'm not expecting it, but I wouldn't be blown away.
Jonathan Gannon revenge game? Come on. I'd be pretty
it's hard
surprised.
To trust the Eagles.
I think I agree with you. But there's that desperation factor this time of year where, you know what, they've really got something to play for and the Cardinals are playing out the string. Like, really, they're down to 2 weeks. It's going to be cold in Philly. I just don't love the Cardinals' chances there. But like you said, if Washington has a puncher's chance against the 49ers, then the Cardinals have something, I think, probably better than that against the Eagles.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And like Kyler's capable of beating anybody. Like, he can just, you know, Kyler can get on a heater, and he's talented enough to where he can go win a game. And I think he's, you know, he hasn't been anything at that level this year, but like,
he can go do some stuff.
You can go against that Eagles defense. It, like, crazier things have happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Niners could clinch, and that would be that would be wild if, after losing on Monday and dealing with all these injuries, it's like, Niners clinch.
It would just be so
Eagles,
funny.
Eagles
the
lost.
Tenor, the tenor of the conversation. I talked about this. I mean, we did it on the podcast. I talked about this on the radio on the Insiders on ESPN 1320 Monday through Friday at 10 to noon. 10 to 2 this week, though.
did you guys have a big boost in your ratings from 11 to 11:15 today?
Oh, dude, big time. We noticed. We were like, wow, look at the ratings. It's great. No, Chris is on a different
I wonder what's right going now. On across town.
Yeah. No, what was I saying? Oh, the tenor of the conversation was still like, man, they got their asses whooped. Like, they're fine. Not a great game, though. Like, they really got punched in the mouth. They didn't come from behind in the second half. Da, da, da. To less than a week later have the conversation be like, wow, clinch the one seed would be bananas.
That would be funny. Not expecting it, but it would be humorous.
The Niners, I'm with you, man. They need it bad.
Yes.
Not having that Rams game matter would be huge. The Rams are playing really well. One week at a time.
I agree. And
I'm down.
And I, it's kind of wild that the NFL, basically at the same time that it added a 17th game to the regular season schedule, took away a bye for a playoff team.
Yeah. Yeah. That is nuts.
It's pretty wild.
It feels
player safety,
like,
though.
Yeah, totally. Love player safety.
Am I right?
It's our favorite thing.
Multiple Thursday games in a season. Player safety.
Totally nuts. Totally nuts. I thought, for some reason, I thought Thursday Night Football was done in like week 12. Nope. Thursday Night Football tomorrow. This week. Second to last week. Oh my God.
Who do we got? Who's on the
Jets?
Slate?
Browns.
Ugh, the Jets got so many primetime games this year.
Joe Flacco revenge game. Mm-hmm.
Could be.
Get fired up. Now, let's talk real quick about. Do you want to talk about Patrick Willis or your Durs thoughts?
No, those kind of were my Durs thoughts.
Oh, those were your Durs thoughts. Okay, nothing specific yet.
No, just the fact that, like, they're a team that's tanking and, like, you know, give, like, Ron Rivera one last shot. Jacoby Brissett giving the team a jolt in the arm, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm just I'm just saying that these things happen in the NFL where, like, oh damn, it's a 4-point game in the fourth quarter. Like, why aren't the Niners blowing these guys out? Like, these things happen in the league. That's all.
Remember when the Jets cost themselves Trevor Lawrence because they were winless going into a game against the Rams in week, I think it was 14, and they were 17.5-point dogs and won. And then ended up not getting Trevor Lawrence because of it.
Remember when the Niners, when they won in the Ram in LA against the Rams week 17, it cost them Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I do remember.
They ended up with the second pick in 17, and then they moved back to take Solomon Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And totally. Didn't get Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
So it happens.
And then the Jets won the next week against the 10-4 Browns. And they finished 2-14. Anyways, so yeah, weird stuff happens. I think the Niners are going to be okay. All right, the 49ers might have lost in week 16, but the good news is, so did I. And I think Chris, you did as well in Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's largest daily fantasy sports platform, and it is my new favorite way to consume sports. You can play along with us at prizepicks.com/candlestick and use promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That is prizepicks.com/candlestick. Promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Super easy. You pick 2 to 6 players. You pick more or less on their stat projections, and then you watch the winnings roll in. Unless you ride with me and Chris, in which case you will not be watching the winnings roll in.
I had less than on the Gus Edwards number, which I did hit.
You did. Yeah, you had less than 39.5 rushing yards for Gus Edwards.
Yeah, I had him right around 31, and that's exactly where he ended up. So,
oh, so what's your projection?
Yeah, that's what my model was telling me.
10,000 simulations.
But because I went with the power play, no winnings for your guy over here. But again, we're gonna lick our wounds.
Next week.
We're gonna watch the film. We're going to take a hard look in the mirror, and we're going to get back to it when the Niners go play the Durs. So shout out to Prize Picks.
No doubt. Love Prize Picks. Prizepicks.com/candlestick. Promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Yo, it's your homies Kyle and Chris for Lamb Chops. sglambchops.com is the website. They are the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. And follow them on Instagram at sglambchops because they have some really cool looking stuff that your bland ass boy over here is not very good at styling on his own. And so I pop over to the Instagram. I see how other people are dressing themselves in maybe it's the wolf shorts or the lion shorts, or maybe it's a pair of joggers, or maybe it's the ash gray hoodie that you and I love so much. And I base my outfits off of that, and it always makes me look dope, which is the single most important thing.
And it's also comfortable. It's also high quality. Yeah. It's super stylish. They're conversation starters, honestly. They also have kid sizes on here too.
Yes. That
and everything's great. Unisex. We should point out also, so no matter if you're a man or woman, these clothes will look great on you.
Or a child. They have children's sizes and a lot of their stuff as well. Use promo code Candlestick20 today to get 20% off your order, or you can do it tomorrow or whenever. Candlestick20 is a promo code any day of the week to get 20% off your order from sglambchops.com. Shout out to them. We really appreciate their support, and we would appreciate it if you support them by going to sglambchops.com and ordering some dope, comfortable, high-quality clothing. Join the herd today. Patrick Willis is a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Congratulations to friend of the pod, Patrick Willis. It is his third time as a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He has been a semifinalist 5 times. I believe all 5 times he's been on the ballot. So this is his third time as a finalist, third time in 3 years. I think this is the year he gets in.
I think so too.
I feel good about it. Like, this is, he was so good in his first 8 years that if he played 3 more years at just moderate level of production, he probably would have gotten in on the first ballot. maybe his second. But now he's on his third. To me, the playing time and impact thing goes out the window when, or length of impact thing goes out the window when Terrell Davis got in.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me changes the criteria quite a bit, because for a while when Patrick Willis first retired, I was like, man, I don't know if he's going to get in. He only played 8 years. And I know he's a 5-time first team all pro and a 7-time pro bowler and offensive rookie of the year and all this other stuff. But when Terrell Davis went in, and I know Terrell Davis won a Super Bowl and he was really, really impactful and this and that. He was an MVP and a 2-time offensive player of the year. Like, I understand his impact was great. It was 4 years of impact. And then he had 3 years of next to nothing. He played a combined 17 games over his last 3 years. So the playing time thing goes out the window for me. Patrick Willis belongs in the Hall of Fame, and I think he gets in this year.
Yeah, I hope so. I think he deserves it. I think he's full stop, like one of the best, probably the best linebacker I've ever seen. Like peak Patrick Willis was.
There's a Fred Warner conversation to be had.
Different styles. I mean, No doubt. When I think a key difference for me is Patrick Willis was one of the best linebackers in the NFL as a rookie. Like from the jump.
It wasn't even like DPOY voting as a rookie.
It wasn't even like controversial thing to say, like, oh, I think Patrick Willis is the best linebacker in the league after his rookie season. Like, you could say that and not really get much pushback from smart football people.
Yeah.
Right. And Pat was, I mean, the way he flew around, he epitomized the era. Like, he was a combination of speed, but also ferocity, mm-hmm. right? Like, and, you know, he was very much like the 240-pound linebacker. Now it's, you know, the linebackers are all 220, and they're mostly pass defenders.
He
was a combination of both.
He feels like the first evolutionary step toward where we're at today with linebackers.
Yeah.
Where they went from these, like, burly, downhill gap fillers to, okay, Patrick Willis can do that, but... But he's also going to run with your line or with your running back, and he's going to chase down Anquan Boldin 40 yards down the field. Like, just a different level of athleticism at the position that I think once Patrick Willis got into the league, every front office and every scouting department went, we need to find Patrick Willis type linebackers. Like, that just became the new thing. And then the Niners got the next one with Navarro Bowman,
which was wild. But even Bowman didn't start his first season.
Right.
It was Patrick Willis and Takiyo Spikes. And then Bowman was kind of like this dude who was like standing out on special teams. And then once he got in the starting lineup, it was like, oh, now this dude's one of the best linebackers in the league.
Yeah.
I actually think, I mean, the fact that Bowman didn't win Defensive Player of the Year in 2013 is still something that
outrageous
is wild to me. Bowman was better than Luke Kuechly that year. I would argue.
I totally agree. But Kuechly played the position more like a linebacker in that.
Yeah. I think there's like, I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this. Like, I think it's commendable that Pat went out on his own terms. And although it might have been early than people anticipated, I don't think it should be something that's used against him in terms of the way we look at his career. I think the fact that he took agency in his life and was like, my feet are screwed up. And like, mm-hmm. I don't want to ruin the rest of my life being able to walk around just so I could hang on and play football and improve my Hall of Fame resume. Like, I think that's something that's commendable. And
I agree
that we should not use against players when it comes to their Hall of Fame candidacy, when it's somebody who like was as good and as impactful as Patrick Willis was during his career. Because frankly, he could have hung on. He could have done what Bobby Wagner is doing right now. Right. And like Bobby mm-hmm. Wagner is going to be a Hall of Famer, but no one's going to look at Bobby Wagner's last 3 years when he's 60% of what he used to be and be mm-hmm. like, oh, that solidifies his case.
Right.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner's been a star player
for half a decade.
Right. And so like the fact that he's hung on and been a shell of himself and played for the Rams and Seahawks and some very forgettable you know, like he's been a relatively forgettable player, at least in comparison to what he was at his peak.
Yeah.
Like if he would have walked away, that I don't think that diminishes his Hall of Fame candidacy in the same way that I don't think we should diminish Patrick Willis's Hall of Fame candidacy because he only played 8 years.
Yeah.
I think if we're going to champion player safety, I think we should change the way we view players like Patrick Willis's legacy and not say, man, if only he played longer, he'd have a better Hall of Fame case.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like if we're prioritizing player safety, then like, let's let these dudes go out on their own term and not punish them for doing so if they have foot injuries like right. Pat Willis did.
Luke Kuechly, same thing, by the way. Also yeah. played 8 years and left because he's like, dude, my brain is not able to take this anymore. You know, Luke Kuechly is only 32 years old.
That's wild.
He retired after his age 28 wild. Season. Luke Kuechly's younger than me, dude.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Luke Kuechly? Yeah, Patrick Willis is a Hall of Famer. Luke Kuechly is for sure. Defensive yeah. Rookie of the Year in year one. Defensive Player of the Year in year two. He was a third place DPOY finisher in 2015. He was a...
He won it in 2013.
Yes, correct. That was his second year. Yeah. He was a five-time All-Pro, right. a seven-time Pro Bowler, and a two-time second-team All-Pro. So he was a first or second-team All-Pro in all but one of his seasons. And the year he wasn't, he was the Rookie of the Year. And he led the league in tackles and had two interceptions and seven pass breakups as a rookie.
Him and Pat have a very similar resume with the exception of DPOY.
Extremely similar resumes. Yeah.
Yeah. Pat should get in.
Pat should get in. I think he gets in this year. There's just when you look at the number of guys, because getting in first ballot in the Pro Football Hall of Fame is hard as hell. And so when you look at guys who are first ballot and then you look at guys who have been on a couple times, it's like, man, Pat's waited. I think he gets it. I feel good about it this year.
Yeah.
I think Julius Peppers is the only first ballot guy who gets in this year.
Complete freak, that guy.
Outrageous. I was just tweeting about this. He played 18 years. He had two seasons where he had five or fewer sacks and 10 years where he had 10 or more. And one of the years he had five was his last year as a 39-year-old.
He was just in the league at 39.
I don't know if it's exactly 39, but he played for freaking ever and he was really good for freaking ever. Let me 38. He retired after his age 38 season.
That's wild. Man, that makes me feel bad about myself.
What a player. Dude, I bet your golf game's better than his. Got you.
Probably not, honestly. Like these dudes who play these athletes. Right. These dudes.
No, you're like, totally right.
That's one of the things. If you've ever been to like a celebrity golf tournament or like the American Century in Tahoe, these dudes just like, I'm just gonna pick up golf as a hobby. And yeah, like they have lessons and they can afford equipment and all of that stuff. But just their pure athleticism, they're like, I've been playing golf for like 2 months. And then you watch them and it looks like they've been playing golf for 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's just like the hand-eye coordination, the natural athleticism. I mean, the resources that can like afford good coaches, good golf coaches and stuff.
It would be like so fire to be that good at something.
Well, that's what's funny about Christian McCaffrey. Apparently, from what I've heard, he's just kind of like picked up golf recently and he's already like obscenely good at it. He's just like one of those people who is just like amazing at anything he does.
Yeah.
But I guess it makes sense if like, you know, you grew up with your dad as a good NFL player.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody had those kids. Everybody went to school with that kid who was the quarterback and the starting pitcher and he hit tanks in baseball and he was the fastest dude on the field. And he, like I said, played quarterback. Yeah. And then like you'd play tennis in PE and he was the best tennis player. And they can just pick up something and they're good at it right away.
And also like destroys everybody at every video game.
Oh, for sure.
Like that.
For sure.
just like, it's just so good at everything. But yeah, I would like would recommend the like the American Century or any like professional, not professional, but celebrity golf.
Celebrity M.
Golf tournament. Yeah, just like go and just watch these dudes because you'll be pretty surprised at how good at golf they actually are.
Yeah, dude.
Oh yeah, I just picked it up last off season and I'm a 4 handicap. It's like, God. Like Julius Peppers being a scratch golfer, honestly, would not surprise me at all. Just hitting it 350. Like, what's he like 6'8"?
I bet. Yeah, he's 6'7".
Yeah.
I bet. I bet Christian McCaffrey, and we've heard this from people, but I just don't doubt that Christian McCaffrey hits absolute bombs on a golf course. Like his swing is probably super ugly, but he hits it super straight and a mile and a goddamn half.
Trent Williams has taken up golf.
Oh my God.
And I'm fascinated, very like hopeful at some point in life we get to watch Trent Williams play golf.
God, me too.
I watch, speaking of giant, really good left tackles, watch Andrew Whitworth play golf a few times up in Tahoe.
Good player.
He hits the shit out of the ball. I think the best former NFL guy who plays is Kyle Williams. Not the Niners tackle. Kyle Williams. Yeah, the defensive tackle from the Bills. Doesn't look like he'd be a really good golfer, but just has just filthy short game. Soft hands. Unbelievable stuff.
Love that for him. What about Robbie Gould? He's a former NFL guy.
He's a good player. Last time I talked to Robbie, I think he was like a 1 point something.
Jesus.
He's not in plus yet, but
how much golf do you think Robbie Gould is playing right now? Like he's playing 36 a day, right?
Well, he's got kids. But I bet he plays at least 4 days a week.
Oh, for sure.
It's so much easier to get good at golf if you can play multiple times a week.
Yeah. Totally.
So Robbie's doing fine.
That's our midweek pod.
you didn't want to have the game manager. Is Brock Purdy a game manager conversation today?
You know,
are you
going to
save that for Nick tomorrow?
Yeah, Nick and I are going to dive deep on that. I can't wait. Nick Wagner of ESPN is going to fill in for Chris tomorrow. You're going to be traveling. You are. So Nick will be in. And yeah, I saved all my good stuff for Nick.
Okay. Sounds right.
I'm going to quiz him on golfers in the Niners locker room.
I'll have my mic with me as I traverse through Atlanta and Memphis.
Great.
To follow the Sacramento Kings.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully I can hop on Sunday night or Sunday at some point.
Okay.
Talk about Niners durs.
It will for not be Sunday night, but it'll be Saturday afternoon. We'll hop on after the game.
Saturday afternoon?
Sunday.
Sunday afternoon.
Your boy's got plans Sunday night.
Oh, does he?
Okay. Oh yeah, I got stuff going on.
What you got going on?
I'm gonna get high and eat.
Oh,
soup.
Is this what you're talking about on the radio today?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
No, I didn't talk about this on the radio today. That was Teeny Tiny Christmas.
What was your soup party?
Oh yeah, no. Okay, did I bring that up today? Yeah, no, soup party. Yeah. Soup party at the Madsen's house. Everybody's bringing soup. We're just gonna eat soup and
my invite got super lost.
No, it's in your hotel room in Memphis.
Okay, cool.
Jaws guarding it.
Okay. Fair right. enough. What's your go-to? Are you making soup?
I am not making soup. My wife is going to make soup. We're making a lasagna soup, it sounds like.
Lasagna soup. Interesting.
It is bomb.
It's well, like tomato bisque with some noodles and cheese and stuff in it?
More or less, yeah. Meat.
Cool. Yeah, sausage.
It's like deconstruct the lasagna in a broth. Fantastic.
Would have been great. Bummed I
it's easy to make. I'll make some, dude. I will make some for you, bro.
Great.
I can't wait. Great. All right.
Me neither. All right.
Subscribe, rate, review. Do all that. Subscribe on YouTube.
Thanks for hanging out on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel if you're listening to the pod. 5-star review anywhere you get your podcasts. Very much appreciated.
Yep.
And we'll talk to you guys later on in the week. Nick Wagner tomorrow. Is that that's confirmed? We feel comfortable.
Nick
saying
Wagner
that
confirmed. Yeah, I feel really good about it. I feel really, really good about it.
Right. Can't wait to can't wait to feel bad about myself after listening to it. It's gonna be great.
I'll make sure to tank it. I'll sound like shit tomorrow just for you.
Nick just always knows exactly the buttons to press. Is all I'm saying.
Oh. Yeah, you're right. I can't wait. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
All right. See you guys.
All right. See you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.